From Toronto, Ontario, that was Zubrivka from their second CD, Večernici and Ivanku. Dobri večer, dorohi radio sluhači, ta vitaju vas vsih na radio predaču Naš holos, radio ukrajinskoho korinja, kotra podajeci vam što subote o 6 godini na bahatomovni radiostanci AM 1320 u misti Vancouveri. Pri mikrofoni Pavlina, dякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Ми маємо дуже цікаві новини на сьогоднішній програмі. Hello there and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio here on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver. I'm your host, Pavlina. Thank you so much for joining me. We've got a great program lined up for you today. We've got Myra Junik from Toronto joining us with a book review, and she'll be telling us all about Orwell and the Refugees, an e-book by American-Ukrainian Andrea Chalupa, and it tells the fascinating story behind the famous novel by George Orwell, Animal Farm. As well, we've got Ukrainian Jewish heritage, and this will be a story about klezmer music. As well, we have news from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine Today English Language News Service. So stay tuned for all of that. We'll also have our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is another toe tapper, so keep those dancing boots laced up. We're going to be bringing you a few of them, so stay tuned. Coming up next is Zirka from Toronto as well, another Z-named group from Toronto. Here they are with Hansia.
Ой, Ганджу, люба, ой, Ганджу, мила, чому ж ти влучила, верни до мене, забудь за другий. Ой, ганчу люба, ой, ганчу мила.
To the foresight and generosity of its donors, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been investing in the future of the Ukrainian-Canadian community for over 50 years. Since 1963, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been funding initiatives that strengthen our Ukrainian-Canadian identity and enhance our Ukrainian-Canadian cultural heritage. These include fine and performing arts and arts groups, museums, cultural centers, education, as well as authors, journalists, and the Ukrainian-Canadian media, including this program. The foundation strives to become the premier not-for-profit foundation in a Canada which acknowledges the Ukrainian-Canadian community as a fundamental component of Canadian society. Nash Hollis listeners are encouraged to support this vision through continued donations into the future. To apply for grants, make a donation, or for more information, visit ShevchenkoFoundation.com.
Don't miss the 20th Annual BC Ukrainian Cultural Festival, Saturday, May 2nd at the Clark Foundation Theatre, 33700 Prentice Avenue in Mission, BC. Non-stop dance competitions from 8:30 a.m. till 6:30 p.m. Kids activities, arts and crafts displays and demonstrations, and of course, great Ukrainian food. Tickets are $8 for adults, $5 for students, and $1 for kids 5 and under. That's the 20th Annual BC Ukrainian Cultural Festival, Saturday, May 2nd at the Clark Foundation Theatre in Mission.
Hi, I'm Vincent Rees from Edmonton's Cobblestone Freeway Cultural Tours with exciting news. Our 2015 tours are up and ready to go. Join us for a unique cultural tour. We have trips to Eastern Europe, including Western Ukraine, Hungary, and Croatia. Plus, we're going to Costa Rica, Brazil, and Argentina. So visit our website for photos and details. Cobblestone Freeway, we're in Edmonton and ready to go. So book today. Visit cobblestonefreeway.ca.
Чорне море, гарне море, гарне море, чорне море, гарне море, а все ядно, чорна гора, мене. Місяця не знаю. Гей, стріляй, моя рушениця, щоб почула моя киця, неня моя чорна гора. Гей, стріляй, моя рушениця, щоб почула молодиця, неня. чорна гора. Чекай, куме, чекай, куме, курнєма, куме, курнєма, куме, Тітом, рітом, маргарітом, і з кумом два бандіта, за наєднення чорна гора. Іване, мій сине, гей-гей, з полонини піснялине, гей-гей, я ніколи і нікому не віддам рідного дому за наєднення чорна гора. Гей-гей-гей, я нікому і ніколи не віддам ці гори доли за наєднення чорна гора.
That was Vasil Hontaruske with Chorne Hora, Black Mountain. Coming up next, Horpina from Poland and Marusia.
Marusia, raz, hai, dwa, hai, ryka była czornia, baja dziewczyna, sadu ja odrwala. Marusia, raz, dwa, ryka była czornia. Дай на гайте спорт.
Now the latest news stories from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine's first international English news channel, Ukraine Today.
Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper has announced that approximately 200 troops will be deployed to Ukraine starting this summer and until March 2017. Harper made the announcement during a speech at the Department of National Defense in Ottawa. Over 150 troops will be sent to a military center in Yavoriv near the Polish border. Among the Canadian military trainers will be explosive specialists, medical trainers, military police trainers, logistical specialists, and flight safety instructors. The exact locations of the training operations have not been disclosed, but are said to be, quote, well separated from recent conflicts. The Canadian troops will join 800 U.S. troops already deployed to West Ukraine, as well as 75 British soldiers who've been sent to provide instructions on tactical intelligence and first aid on the battlefield. The Canadian Broadcasting Corporation has reported that the first year of the program is expected to cost $16 million U.S. dollars. With this latest announcement, overall, Canada has provided Ukraine with at least $578 million U.S. dollars in support, which includes loans and non-lethal military assistance. Wearing traditional Ukrainian folk clothes and shouting "Glory to Ukraine!", Ukrainian fighter pilot Nadia Savchenko has arrived for her court hearing in Moscow. Savchenko's lawyer recently said to Ukrainian news agency TSN that Russian President Vladimir Putin will try to use his client's release as a bargaining chip in ceasefire negotiations in Ukraine. Savchenko, who is a Ukrainian member of parliament who has recently suspended her hunger strike, remains in Russian custody despite concerted diplomatic demands for her release. The 33-year-old pilot has become a hero in Ukraine for standing up to Russia. She was captured last June in East Ukraine by Russian-backed militants who illegally handed her over to Moscow. The U.S. Senate recently voted to demand Moscow free the Ukrainian fighter pilot. Ukraine wants the International Criminal Court to investigate all alleged war crimes in Crimea and eastern Ukraine, Foreign Minister Pavlo Klimkin said in an interview on Friday.
We are quite optimistic about definitely more engagement of the ICC.
Klimkin's proposed wider inquiry would, for the first time, take into account allegations of direct Russian military involvement in the conflict in East Ukraine.
If you have military hostility, it's one situation. If you deliberately, and I have to stress it, deliberately shell on cities, killing civilians, it's a completely different situation. And we have to engage the ICC in working on these cases.
Klimkin also added that Ukraine is examining the possibility of launching a case against Russia at another court in The Hague, the International Court of Justice, which is the highest UN court for territorial disputes.
I don't consider the ICJ and the ICC as the threats which should exclude each other. I believe in different cases they would rather fit together and match different legal tracks.
International Criminal Court prosecutors began their preliminary inquiry last April after the Ukrainian government asked them to investigate allegations that under former Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych's command, over 100 protesters were killed during the 2014 pro-European protests on Kyiv's Independence Square.
More ceasefire violations in eastern Ukraine. Russian-backed militants fired on Ukrainian positions at least 15 times before midnight last night, and that information comes from the Ukrainian Military Press Center. Reports also stated that militants used 120-millimeter guns, weapons which are forbidden from being used under the terms of a ceasefire deal signed between Ukraine and Russia. Since the truce was signed back in February, there have been nearly daily breaches by Russian-backed militants, and Ukrainian forces say they have returned fire. These latest violations come just days after a meeting in Berlin with foreign ministers from Ukraine, Russia, Germany, and France, where an agreement was signed for both sides to pull heavy weapons back further from the line of contact.
The 24th so-called Russian humanitarian aid convoy has begun moving towards Donetsk from Russia's Rostov region. The Russian Emergencies Ministry says that 120 trucks with what it calls humanitarian aid are destined for the military-controlled region of eastern Ukraine. What is actually in the trucks cannot be verified, as Russia does not allow inspections to be performed by Ukrainian border guards, members of the OSCE, or international Red Cross workers. The Ukrainian National Security and Defense Council has said that Russia uses the so-called aid convoy to funnel weapons and ammunition to the militants and uses the convoys to ferry dead Russian soldiers out of the country.
U.S. paratroopers have arrived in Lviv to train several hundred fighters from Ukraine's National Guard. The U.S. mission to NATO published photos on Twitter of the Marines touching down in western Ukraine on Friday. The soldiers, usually stationed in the German state of Bavaria, will be deployed for several months to train battalions from across the country. U.S. forces previously said training would focus on artillery tactics and the establishment of secure lines of communication between frontline forces. America has so far refused to provide Ukraine with weapons, despite the passing of the Ukraine Freedom Support Act by the U.S. Congress in late 2014, which opened the way for the delivery of arms to Ukraine. The White House has limited its material support to non-lethal aid, whilst threatening to impose tighter economic sanctions against Russia if the latest Minsk ceasefire deal is broken by militant forces.
How did Vladimir Putin find out about the murder of Ukrainian publicist Oles Buzyna so quickly? That's the question reverberating around political circles in Ukraine after the former newspaper editor, known for his pro-Russian views, was shot dead outside his Kiev apartment on Thursday. Some top government officials accuse Russian special forces of assassinating Buzyna in an attempt to provoke an atmosphere of terror and damage the image of the Ukrainian authorities. Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko described the act as deliberate, that, quote, plays into the hands of our enemies. Putin quickly concluded that Europe and the US would turn a blind eye to Buzyna's killing. He said, in Ukraine, which pretends to be a democratic state and wants to be part of a democratic Europe, nothing like that is happening. Where are the murderers of these people? They are simply not there, not executors, nor those who have ordered it, and they prefer not to notice this in Europe nor the US. Less than 24 hours earlier, another prominent figure was killed, Oleg Kalashnikov, a former lawmaker from ousted President Viktor Yanukovych's Party of Regions, who was shot dead outside his Kiev residence late Wednesday. He was known to have helped lead and finance protests in Kiev last year, which opposed Ukraine's mass pro-democracy uprising. Interior Ministry official Anton Hirashenko said the assassins for both victims will be hard to find. He added that a full investigation is underway. Two people waited near the house. Two people were killed with five bullets each. However, to say that it's the same people is premature. The fact that these people could be coordinated, if this will prove right, then we will declare definitively. Several other former Yanukovych MPs have also died in suspicious circumstances in recent months.
Swiss authorities have begun the process of giving Ukraine legal assistance concerning frozen assets which are linked to the regime of former Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych. According to Swiss news agency Swiss Info, the Swiss Justice Office complied with the legal assistance request filed by Ukraine's General Attorney's Office concerning funds which were frozen as of the 28th of February 2014. The legal assistance request, however, does not concern Yanukovych himself, Swiss authorities stressed in a statement. Switzerland blocked more than $174 million in assets belonging to Ukraine's ousted president and also blocked assets of around 30 people from his inner circle in February 2014. Interpol placed Yanukovych on its wanted list in January this year. Ukrainian officials say he stripped state coffers bare and tens of billions of euros disappeared into offshore accounts. Ukrainian aircraft manufacturer has presented a unique plane which can transport more than 18 tons and can land on almost any surface. Ukraine's state enterprise Antonov presented the aircraft in Kyiv. It's estimated to be worth somewhere between $20 to $25 million. The aircraft's presentation included dancing, singing, and other festivities. The aircraft was produced by a computer-aided design and engineering. The state-of-the-art aircraft can be used for civilian and military purposes.
And with that, we've come to the end of this week's Ukraine News Roundup. For more breaking stories on Ukraine, follow Ukraine Today on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and their live blog at uatoday.tv. And up next is the Playboy Band from Edmonton from their wedding album CD and Drifting and Dreaming. Слухайте українську радіопрограму «Наш голос» на багатомовній радіостанції AM 1320 CHMB у місті Ванкувері. And now, Ukrainian Jewish Heritage, hosted by Renata Hananets in cooperation with the Jewish Heritage Museum in Lviv, Ukraine. This special Nash Holos feature is brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative based in Toronto, Ontario.
Добрий день! This is Renata Hananets in Lviv, Ukraine. Welcome to this week's look at Ukraine's Jewish heritage. Klezmer music is instantly recognizable, yet almost impossible to define. It's a unique sound with a heritage deeply rooted in the shtetl, the Jewish village at Eastern Europe. The term klezmer is derived from the Hebrew roots klezmer, a vessel of song. It reflects the ancient Jewish belief that the musician is not really a creator of music, but rather a vessel through which music flows. It also refers to professional Jewish folk musicians of Eastern European origin. Since the 1970s, it also has been used to describe the genre of music they performed. However you want to define it, klezmer is a cultural phenomenon which played an integral part in the culture and celebrations of Ukrainian and other Eastern European Jewry. The tradition of klezmer in Europe dates back to the 16th century. From then and until the 1930s, klezmerim, or klezmer performance, played an important role in Jewish communities. Klezmerim were hired to play at Jewish weddings and other gatherings, as well as at non-Jewish functions, and sometimes non-Jewish musicians played at Jewish events. As a result, klezmer music became a rather eclectic mix of Eastern European folk styles. So it is historically accurate to say that klezmer was the original fusion music. The first instruments used were traditional, the violin, cello, hammered dulcimer, cymbal in Ukrainian, flute and piccolo. More recently, the accordion was added along with the clarinet, saxophone, guitar, and the other instruments commonly used by klezmerim today. The original intention of klezmer was for musical instruments to imitate the voice of the cantor in the synagogue. The first klezmer tunes were in fact based on the chanted Hebrew melodies of the Jewish service. Because it structurally corresponds to traditional marital rites, klezmer soon became popular for weddings. Then, gradually, it became common at bar mitzvahs, birthdays, or the arrival of a new Torah rule, visits of celebrities, and other happy events. From 1881 to 1924, a wave of Jewish immigrants from Eastern Europe arrived in the New World. Naturally, they brought their music along and performed for all kinds of celebrations, as in the Old World. However, their North American-born sons and daughters considered klezmer music an embarrassment. This generation was eager to assimilate into the American melting pot. For them, klezmer symbolized the ghetto mentality of the shtetl, and they wanted no part of it. At the same time, back in Europe, the Holodomor, the Holocaust, and the Iron Curtain cut off North American klezmer from its roots. And for a while, klezmer all but disappeared from the face of the earth. But in the 1970s, klezmer experienced a surprising revival. In the West, descendants of the immigrants and survivors of European genocides became interested in their roots. They discovered vintage recordings of renowned klezmerim such as Naftul Brandwine and Dave Taras, and they quickly began to make up for lost time. By the 1980s, the klezmer revival had spread from North America to Europe, and even to Israel, where suddenly Yiddish became chic again. And in the post-communist world of its birthplace, among other things, klezmer is fueling the revival of Yiddish. Throughout Ukraine today, and in neighboring countries, klezmer can once again be heard on the streets, at festivals, in workshops and schools, and at private functions. No longer an embarrassment, klezmer has evolved into an art form with a heritage that has a universal appeal. While strictly Jewish, klezmer is nonetheless enjoyed and shared by people and cultures around the world. This musical evolution may perhaps make klezmer harder than ever to define. However, there is no mistaking it when you hear it. This is Renata Ananets at the Faina Petrikova Center in Lviv, Ukraine. Until next time, shalom.
Thank you, Renata. Щиро дякую. Join us again next week for another episode of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative.
перевернуть нутро. Свербіли кулаки, насуплені такі, сиділи хлопці вже години три. Та хоч би хтось один з місцевих бедуїн за жирою поліз до пацанів, пішло поїхало, щелепу вдихало, та досі приводу ще не було. Якого йшли туди, де сестри і брати, за ниньку можуть вивернуть нутро. Коли вже їхав дах, розвіяв весь напряг, завзятий наш поліський рок-н-рол.
And that was Otvinta from Ukraine with 17 Moskali, 17 Moscovites. Coming up next is another song sort of on that theme. This is by a German composer and performer by the name of Christian Tessen. And he has a message going out for the instigator of the war in Ukraine.
Hey, Mr. Putin! Hey, Mr. Putin! I have a question for you. Don't you know that my country is called Ukraine and our colors are yellow and blue? Yellow for the grain fields to feed our people, blue for the endless sky. And we don't need new colors, we don't need new flags. There is no reason to die. Hey, Mr. Putin, hey, Mr. Putin, what are you doing here? Nobody wants your soldiers around and missiles in the air. Hey, Mr. Putin, see the mamas of young dead soldiers cry. Stop telling the world to never send them, 'cause crying mamas don't lie. Hey, Mr. Putin, hey, Mr. Putin, I have a question for you. Don't you know that my country is called Ukraine and our colors are yellow and blue? Yellow for the grain fields to feed our people, blue for the endless sky. And we don't need new colors, we don't need new flags. There is no reason to die. Hey, Mr. Putin, we send you an angel to make you see. Playing with fire is not a game while sitting on TNT. Hey, Mr. Putin, hey, Mr. Putin, this country is our land. You are welcome if you come sometime as a guest and a good friend. Until then, Mr. Putin, the message is clear. This is the message for you. Don't you know that my country is called Ukraine and our colors are yellow and blue? Hey, Mr. Putin, see the mamas of young dead soldiers cry. Stop telling the world you never send them, 'cause crying mamas don't lie. Hey, Mr. Putin, hey, Mr. Putin, I have a question for you. Don't you know that my country is called Ukraine and our colors are yellow and blue? Yellow for the grain fields to feed our people, blue for the endless sky. And we don't need new colors, we
Russian brothers and sisters all day and all night. Hey, Mr. Putin, hey, Mr. Putin, you got to understand. The world, Mr. Putin, is watching you, and this is our land. Hey, Mr. Putin, hey, Mr. Putin, we didn't start the fight. We love our Russian brothers and sisters all day and all night. Hey, Mr. Putin, hey, Mr. Putin, you got to understand. The world, Mr. Putin, is watching you, and this is our land. Hey, Mr. Putin, hey, Mr. Putin, I have a question for you. Don't you know that my country is called Ukraine and our colors are yellow and blue? Yellow for the grain fields to feed our people, blue for the endless sky. And we don't need new colors, we don't need new flags, there is no reason to die.
Welcome to Knyzhka Corner, book reviews by Myra Junik, Ukrainian stories in English.
In this edition of Knyzhka Corner, we will be discussing Andrea Chalupa's e-book, Orwell and the Refugees, The Untold Story of Animal Farm. Andrea Chalupa's Orwell and the Refugees traces the amazing connection between George Orwell's classic novel, Animal Farm, and Ukrainian refugees in the displaced persons camps of post-war Germany and Austria. Animal Farm carries the message of hope that someone in the West knew the truth about the Soviet Union and that someone understood the unimaginable horrors Ukrainians and others endured behind the Iron Curtain. When Andrea Chalupa's grandfather, Alexei Kis, her grandmother, Alexandra, and Uncle Vitali immigrated to the United States in 1951, one of their few possessions was a Ukrainian translation of Orwell's masterpiece, Animal Farm. It had been published in Munich in 1947 by a group of Ukrainian refugees at a small press called Prometei. The remarkable story of the collaboration between the world-renowned novelist George Orwell and these Ukrainian refugees is the focus of Chalupa's book, Orwell and the Refugees. After spending years writing Animal Farm, George Orwell could not find a publisher brave enough to publish it during World War II, since it was viewed as anti-Soviet satire. The book was not welcome in the literary world because the West needed Stalin to fight Hitler. As well, many leading intellectuals still believed in the Russian Revolution. Orwell finally managed to publish his book in 1945 at the small British press Secker and Warburg. 6 months later, Ihor Shevchenko, a Ukrainian refugee and linguistics scholar, read Animal Farm and recognized its profound meaning. Shevchenko wrote to Orwell in London asking permission to publish the book in Ukrainian. Orwell agreed and even wrote an introduction to this edition. In March 1947, Shevchenko printed 5,000 copies for Ukrainian refugees in the displaced persons camps of post-war Germany and Austria. Initially, 2,000 of these books were distributed before American soldiers confiscated them as anti-Soviet propaganda. They were then given to Soviet authorities to be destroyed. Andrea Chalupa based her book, Orwell and the Refugees, on a speech that she gave at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. on March 5, 2012, on the anniversary of Stalin's death. This book was a very personal journey for the writer. When her beloved grandfather Alexei died, he left her a journal about his life in Ukraine, which included descriptions of the Holodomor, Stalin's purges, and World War II. as well as his life in the Haidenau displaced persons camp. She decided to write Orwell and the Refugees to share her family history as a reminder of the humanitarian importance of speaking truth to power. Readers will be thrilled with Chalupa's insights into George Orwell's classic novel, Animal Farm. Many will remember reading it in high school with its veiled references to Stalin and Soviet Russia. However, very few will know the real story behind the novel. Orwell's preface to the Ukrainian edition is in fact the only commentary he ever wrote about Animal Farm. This preface will give Orwell enthusiasts a great deal of insight into Orwell's life and his motivations for writing this brilliant novel. Andrea Chalupa is a journalist and producer in New York City. She writes a business column for Artists entitled Purpose Incorporated for the Big Think website. Andrea also writes for the Huffington Post on business, entertainment, and politics. After graduating from the University of California with a degree in history, Andrea worked in Ukraine. She also attended the Harvard Ukrainian Research Institute, where he studied with Professor Ihor Shevchenko. His dedication to Ukrainian culture and freedom in the displaced persons camps was the basis for Chalupa's book, Orwell and the Refugees. Orwell and the Refugees is available as an ebook at Amazon.
Thanks, Myra. Join us again soon for another edition of Konishka Corner, book reviews by Myra Junik, here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'll be joining the author Andrea Chalupa in a roundtable discussion tomorrow, Sunday, April 19th, on Radio Kontakt in Toronto, hosted by Andy Holobody and Uliana Hlinchak. We'll be talking about Andrea's book, Orwell and the Refugees, and a special presentation she gave recently to a group of high school students in Toronto. As well, time permitting, we'll be discussing her digital Maidan Twitter storms, the media propaganda war, and social network activism. So tune in to Radio Kontakt at AM 530 on the radio dial in Toronto, or streaming online at www.am530.ca. Tomorrow, Sunday, April 19th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Time. Here's what's coming up this week in Vancouver's Ukrainian community. On Wednesdays, catch Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio broadcasting live from Nanaimo to North and Central Vancouver Island, the Gulf Islands, the Sunshine Coast, Northwest Washington State, and in the Greater Vancouver listening area. Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Time on CHLY Radio Malaspina, 101.7 FM on the radio dial, and streaming online at chly.ca. On Friday, enjoy a pierogi supper at St. Mary's Ukrainian Orthodox Center, 13512 108th Avenue, just off King George Boulevard in Surrey. Doors are open from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. For more information, call 604-531-1923 or visit their website, www.uocstmarysurrey.com. Channel 8 Omni airs two Ukrainian language TV shows in the Vancouver viewing area. Kontakt TV Sundays at 7 a.m. with repeats Tuesdays at 9 a.m. and Thursdays at 7 a.m. and Forum TV Sundays at 8 a.m. with repeats on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 12 noon. And at 6 p.m. on Saturday evenings, flip your radio dial right back here to AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver, or catch the live stream at am1320.com. And join me for another hour of fun on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. In between broadcasts, make sure to follow Nash Holos and me on Facebook and Twitter. And for audio archives, transcripts, podcast feeds, and more, visit our website at www.nashholos.com.
Глянь, ось перший сніг, і мрія біла із недавніх днів. І вдаль летить під стріг прядило дивне і стули, і синів. Поглянь у серце, що томиться самітне. Is
скорботі, воно таке привітне. Ах, повернися і срібної імли.
Прийшли на крилах сну завзяття змагу і відчай жаги. Ту свою кріпку і розмах, що не боїться зими.
Годину тиху ти розкажи про мрію, що каже нам віддати юність дар. І розгріває серця у сніговію, вливає в жили нам полум'яний жар. Ми йдемо магім душі, і крок не схитний по тріумф чи смерть, що ви в великі дні свідчили гідно прокривати геть. Одна шалена нас полонила до. Ти вміть. Одна шалена нас полонила доля, що дарувала любов як ніжний квіт. Чи переможем, чи згинемо за волю, жити буде вічно.
And that was the Povstansky Tango, performed by Orest Tsimbala and Marta Shpak. For the very best in Ukrainian programming, tune in to Nasholos Ukrainian Roots Radio at 6 p.m. Saturdays here on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver. Live in Nanaimo Wednesdays at 11 a.m. till 1 p.m. on 101.7 FM and streaming at chly.ca. And also on our new international edition, which airs Fridays through Monday in over 20 countries on the PCJ Radio Network on AM, FM, and shortwave radio. In between broadcasts, you can find us online at www.nashholos.com. Among other things, you'll find the links there to the podcast, and make sure to follow Nash Holos on Twitter, and please like our Facebook page. Нажами вже скінчила нашу програму, пора не прощатися на ще один тиждень, бо вже час додому і сказати до побачення. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Не питай знатного, але бувалого. And our proverb of the week translates as, do not ask the eminent man, but the experienced one. Well, that about wraps it up for another edition of Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio, here on AM 1320 CHMB. To take us to the end of our program, Anton Ivasyuk with Jason's Polka. I'm Pavlina. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and AM 1320, thanks for listening and Dobranich!